What is the place of the law in a life of a believer? Has it passed away so utterly that we no longer need to even think of what God requires of us? Does it still have a place? Scripture affirms that the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, and although it remains a guide to show us what God loves and what He hates, it has no part in our salvation. Welcome back to the Light of the Word Radio. This broadcast is sponsored by Lighthouse Baptist Church. This week, Pastor Jim concludes a powerful message on the place of the law in our lives. Let's join him now.
In verse 2, but he is under guardians and managers until the date set by his father. You see, that's how it was for those of us who will be saved who are not saved yet. We are still under the authority of the law. And under the authority of the law, we are being squished. And what I mean by that, simple term, does anybody here have no trouble keeping the law? We have all kinds of trouble keeping the law, don't we? You say, well, I don't kill anybody. Yeah, but do you get angry and hateful to people? According to Scripture, that's the same thing as killing them. You say, well, I've never committed adultery. Well, Jesus said, to look as someone of the opposite sex, to look at a woman and lust is the same thing as adultery. I'm in church every Sunday. But you know, the first commandment says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And yet, we put so much of this world in front of God. It's hard to keep those commandments, isn't it? It is hard. And that's really not true. It's not really hard. It's impossible to keep those commandments. And since we can't keep those commandments, we are under the law. And the law provides one major thing that we need to understand. That the penalty of sin is death. The law tells us that. That if we sin, we must die. That's the law that we're bound to. Is anybody happy with that? I should hope not. I should hope not. What we must do is come to the Savior by faith so that the debt that He paid on the cross is passed on to us. That we would no longer be under the guardians of the law. And let me tell you, I have been around and in churches and around and with Christians who are, I'd say they're the law police. Because they are watching every single thing you do that is wrong, and they want to share it with their neighbors before they even share it with you. Now don't get me wrong. If you see a brother, you see a sister that is in sin, after you have dealt with yourself and your sin, then you go deal with them in love and humility. But I tell you, I've had people tell me about myself. And the thing is they probably weren't too far from wrong. But there was absolutely no grace. None that was shared. It was simply the law. Well, the law condemns me. Verse 3 says, in the same way, we also, when we were children, were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. Elementary principles. Now, as I was researching for this message, I came up with some pretty fancy words that I could share with you guys. And I put them into my sermon, but then I decided, no, let's just look at this in simple, easy to understand words. Elementary principles. Did anybody here go to school ever? You started out in what? Elementary school, most of you? Some of you are young enough to have started in preschool. When I was growing up, they didn't have such a thing. We started in elementary school. What do we learn in elementary school? The elementary things of math and English and grammar and geography and all those things. Those, the elementary, the beginning things. And from that, as we go through those years of school, that expands, doesn't it? Sometime, I guess it's been a couple years now, I looked at a book that Joey was working out of. It was his trigonometry book. I wasn't even sure which way I was supposed to hold it, let alone what it was saying. We grow in those things. Folks, there are so many people that in the elementary things of this world, they are stuck. They have not grown out of those things. In Hebrews 5, verse 12, it says this, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, You need someone to teach you again the basic principles of oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. Folks, there are so many people that are in church who have never gotten past the milk, because what they know of God is what they hear when they come to church, and they never go any deeper. They never dig into God's Word for themselves. And I don't care who the preacher is, you will not grow by only listening to the preacher. You grow by digging in and digging deep. Sometimes I have to catch myself. So I'll hear somebody say something and I'll think, what's that pastor teaching them? And I think, no, that's not the case. They have a responsibility to grow. And if they aren't growing because they are not in the Word, then that is on them. And folks, you have a responsibility to grow in God's Word and not to need the milk constantly. Galatians 3:23. I told you I'd get back into those other verses before long. Now before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. That's what I'm talking about that happens through this regeneration. That coming faith into your life happens when God regenerates your heart. And for those who haven't been here often and don't know what that means, to regenerate your heart is God, as the scripture tells us, taking your heart of stone and giving you a heart of flesh. And with that, he opens up the eyes and the ears so that you can see and hear spiritual things that you never saw and heard before. If you are here today and you are saved, you've been born again. There came a time when you was reading in the scripture something you had read many times before, and as you're reading it this time, all of a sudden, you know what it means. You had read over it so many times and, in fact, didn't even realize you didn't know what it meant because you just read over it. And then all of a sudden, in that growth, because of the eyes being open, the ears being open, it makes sense. But we were captive. We were held down and condemned by the law. Sad thing to me, and I kind of alluded to it a moment ago, sad thing is how many so-called Christians will be glad to continue to condemn you. Folks, anyone who is better than you is probably someone you need to stay away from because they aren't better than you. I don't care what their position. I don't care who they are. If somebody says they are better than you, then you need to stay away from them because they are fools who do not know God, imprisoning us with the law. Galatians 3:24. So then, the law was our guardian until Christ came in order that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under the guardian. Can I get an amen for that? Aren't you pleased that you are no longer under the guardianship of the law? But you are free from the law. And what are you under? Let me hear it. Grace. That's right. You are under grace. And what a difference that makes to be under grace instead of being under the law. As he continues, verses 23 and 24, I just read 23, verse 24 in chapter 3. So then, the law was our guardian until Christ came in order that we might be justified by faith. Verse 25, but now that faith has come, we are no longer under the guardian. Again, this is glorious news. Verse 26, for in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. And when he says you are all, he is talking about all who have believed, all who have faith, all who have been saved, born again, however you want to put it. All of them are no longer under the law because of faith. That's what saved you. It doesn't matter what kind of a church you go to, because every denomination that I have come across, I have met believers in those denominations. In every denomination that I've come across, I have met liars and Judaizers who do not know the truth and do not care to. Just want to tear down those things of God. Verse 27 says, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And it's not talking about the water baptism. We do not believe in baptismal generation, regeneration. We believe that God regenerates the heart, and that causes us as believers to be baptized. As I continue back to our text in chapter 4 and verse 4, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law. When did it take place? I love this. This is beautiful. When the fullness of time had come. What does the fullness of time had come mean? It means on that moment when God had set apart from before the foundations of the world, at exactly that moment, Jesus took on flesh and was born. And in His humanity, remember 100% God, 100% man, in His humanity, He was under the law. The difference is He did not sin. Romans 8, verse 15 says this, for you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. Folks, this is the spirit that came on us, as you might, some might say, when we were baptized by the Holy Spirit, when we were born again, when God, by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, entered us and gave us faith. We cry out, Abba, Father. Back to our text, verse 5. To redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons, and because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. What does Abba, Father mean? It's a very common term that Christians throw around with Abba, Father. And a lot of times we say it is like Daddy, Father, right? Have you heard that? What it is the most intimate of relationship with Father. That's why they use that illustration of Daddy, Father. Because it is the most intimate of relationship with a father. My father, your father, as a child who is dependent on our fathers, had that intimate relationship, didn't we? That closeness of relying on our dad. That's what he's saying. We cry out, Abba, Father, because of that closeness of relationship, because of that closeness of love. Romans 8, verses 16 and 17. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with Him in order that we may also be glorified with Him. Now we go back to what I'd said earlier. I told you earlier that there were people who wanted you to do all sorts of things to keep your salvation. What we have to do to keep our salvation, listen close, is to have it. If you have salvation, you keep it. That's pretty hard to understand, isn't it? No, it's not. It's easy to understand. But the world doesn't want you to see it that way. I remember many years ago, I was selling mobile homes for Carson's in Manhattan, Kansas. And I had a man of another denomination come through, and he was asking me questions. And he come to the question of, why do you Baptists don't believe that you lose your salvation? And so in one of the homes, we sat down in the living room that was displayed, and we had a hour and a half conversation about why we keep our salvation. But it's as simple as this. All those that the Father has given me, this is Jesus speaking, all those that the Father has given me will by no means be taken away from me. Who is saved? Only those ones who the Father has given him. That's it. So, with that, as Christians, it was funny, this was a part of Jared's sermon this morning too. When you are following Christ because you belong to Christ, there are consequences to be paid for doing what is right. Is that about how you put it, Jared? There are consequences to be paid for what you do that is right. We have this idea, and so many of the Judaizers want you to believe that all you got to do is be Christian and you should have a perfect life. And if your life has a problem, then it's because you're not being Christian enough. And you don't believe enough. You don't have enough faith. Folks, that is a lie. That is a lie from the evil one, the same as the need to be circumcised. It is a lie. What we need is Christ. If we have Christ because He has us, then we are saved. We are adopted permanently. We are His sons. In Romans 5, verse 5, it says, "And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us." What a precious, glorious gift of God, that the Holy Spirit be poured into us. Many years ago, I was doing supply preaching around East Texas and West Louisiana. And there was a church, another man from our church that was also a supply pastor, had preached there, and he told me, he said, "You don't want to go there." He said, "There is no Spirit of God there." He said, "I've preached there 3 times, and I have not seen the Spirit of God." That made me really sad, because I had to tell him that wherever I go, the Spirit of God goes, because the Spirit of God has been poured into me. And wherever you go as a Christian, so goes the Spirit of God. John chapter 1 and verse 12. "But to all the world who did receive Him," there's that word, receive Him, "who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God." This is who we now are. We are children of God if we believed. Do you believe? Do you have the Spirit of God in you? Has it been poured out? Has He been poured out into you that you would be filled? We are heirs with God. Verse 7 says that we are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. Who made you a son or daughter of your parents? Did you do it? Before you were conceived, did you say, "Hey, I want them as my parents"? Is that how it worked? Probably not. The way it worked was God chose who your parents would be. God gave you that. The way it works to be children of God is no different. It's no different. We all rejected God. Make sure we all understand that. We all rejected Him. Not one of us desired God. If you don't believe me, believe the Scripture and what Romans 3 says. Romans 3 says that all have gone astray, that no one sought after Him. No one. The Scriptures tell us to seek after God, but then they tell us that no one did. There's something missing, right? Between no one sought after Him and we're to seek after Him, there's something missing. And that missing piece is His mercy and grace poured out according to His will on those who He chose. I want to read to you from Revelation. Revelation 21, beginning in the first verse. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. And the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. And the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be His people, and God Himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from every eye, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more. For the former things have passed away.' And He who was seated on the throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new.' And He said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.' And He said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give from the spring of water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son.'" See the picture of being a son of God? And I know I've said this many times, and you'll probably hear it many times if you come here very long. Not everybody is a child of God. If everybody was a child of God, there would be no reason for him to give us the opportunity to become children of God. There would be no reason for us to be adopted. Those words would not need to be in the Scriptures at all. But because of our situation with sin, we need Him to lift us up out of it, that He may be glorified in us. And the ultimate goal of our salvation is not heaven. I hear this all the time. Heaven is the goal of your salvation. No, it is not. The glory of God is the goal of your salvation. Heaven is a byproduct of it. That when, as we glorify God now, we will glorify Him in greater ways then. Only because we are His, and His Spirit has been poured out into us. And we are no longer slaves. We are sons and heirs through God. Folks, what an exciting piece of Scripture. What an exciting piece of Scripture just to see what it is that God has done. It is so exciting that Paul thought of every possible way he could say it, and he put it in the different letters that went out to the honor and glory of God. That's what it is. Now, folks, I don't know what your background is, and I don't care. I don't care if you have been the good daughter or the good son all your life, or if you have been a wretch even to the world. In Christ Jesus, you can be a son or a daughter, a child of God. But you cannot hold on to this world and that one. I had this game when I was in junior high school. He held on to these two different bars, and they began to stretch the bars apart. Some of the guys were pretty strong, and as they stretched the bars apart, they kind of rose up like a chin-up. Some of the guys were not as strong, and as they stretched the bars apart, they had to let go because it was stretching them, and they could not rise up. But even the strongest, who would rise up to the bar, when they stretched it far enough, past the length of the fingers, they would go down too. I'm not sure what that purpose of it was, but it's a great illustration to the fact that the world is going to stretch you. And if you are trying to hold on to the world and to the kingdom of God, at some point, no matter how strong you are, you're going to let go. And I'm afraid if you're holding on to both, you're not going to let go of the world. It's going to be the things of God that you let go of. And you will fall on the wrong side. So I ask you to turn to Him. I pray that He has regenerated your heart, and I pray that you would serve Him with all of your heart, leaving behind this world and following Him, because there's nothing in this world that you can give up that even compares to what you receive as benefits of glorifying Him. Please stand with me as we pray. Father God, as we close this, Lord, I pray You've been honored. I pray You've been glorified. Father, I thank You for these who are here, for those who are watching online today, for those who will hear this on the radio, however many months down the road, for those who will hear this in the other medias that we have around the world. Doesn't matter where you are. Oh Lord, may You regenerate their hearts. May they become children of Yours. May they become heirs with Christ. May they become My brothers and My sisters, and may they bring glory and honor to Your name with their lives. It is to You I give glory. It is to You I give honor. In Christ Jesus' name, amen.
That picture of our relationship to God is so wondrous. We are sons and daughters of the Most High God. He loves us enough to make a way for us to be with Him forever. We are at home in the heart of the Father, and wherever He is, there is our home. Beloved, remember that there's nothing in this world that can ever hold a candle even to the smallest part of the precious glory of His eternal presence. We want to thank you for joining us today, and we would love to hear from you. If you want to hear more of Pastor Jim, you can find him on the web at www.sermonaudio.com. Just search for Lighthouse Southern Baptist Church. If you've been blessed by this message or have questions about the content or about our ministry, if you are in need of counsel or guidance or want us to pray for you, please reach out to us and let us know. We can be reached in many different ways. We can be called toll-free at 800-416-9352. That number again is 800-416-9352. You can find us on the web at www.lightoftheworldradio.com. Once more, that's www.lightoftheworldradio.com. Or you can reach us by mail at Light of the Word Radio, P.O. Box 1, St. George, Kansas, 66535. When you reach out to us in any of these ways, you can also inquire about participating in the support of this ministry. If you desire to partner with us to keep this broadcast on the air, please let us know. We would like to send you a gift of appreciation. At your request for a gift of any size, we will send you the book On This Day, A Daily Guide to Spiritual Lessons from Christian History by Dr. Paul E. Barkey. This 640-page book is organized around each day in the calendar, using stories from history with a biblical lesson for each. On This Day brings great stories from history to us and applies them to help lift our eyes upward to see the God who governs all of history. It's just one of Dr. Barkey's daily devotions that bring lessons to light from history, and it's yours free as a thank you for a gift of any size. Just mention that you would like the book when you call or write. This has been Light of the Word Radio, sponsored by Lighthouse Baptist Church. We want to thank you for allowing us to spend some time with you. We hope that you'll join us next time. Until then, I'm Pastor Eugene, and on behalf of all of us here at Light of the Word Radio, thanks, and may God bless you and bless the hearing of His Word.
Hello, friends. Pastor Jim here with today's final word. A couple things I wanted to talk about today. First off and foremost is the purpose, again, that we do this is the glory of God. We want His Word to be heard by as many people as possible. We know that in today's world, there are so many who would distort and change God's Word away from His original intent. And we want you to hear what He has to say. So that is the purpose for us being on the radio stations that we are. That is the purpose in the overseas things that we do. That is the purpose in the live stream. All those things, the purpose is the glory of God. Having said that, as we look at the radio stations we're on, many of them we have been on for a year or more, and we are evaluating at this time which stations that we want to continue on, and your input is very important to us. It's not about money. If God leads you to give a donation, by all means, we appreciate that, and that is how we keep this program on the air. But more important than that is your feedback to know if you are listening, to know where you're listening. I know we're all very busy, full schedules in the whole nine yards. But if you could take just a moment out this week to either write or call us, we would truly appreciate that. How can you do that? Well, let me give you some numbers. You just heard Pastor Eugene give our 800 number, which is 800-416-9352. That's 800-416-9352. Also, you could write us at Light of the Word Radio, P.O. Box 1, St. George, Kansas, 66535. That is Light of the Word Radio, P.O. Box 1, St. George, Kansas, 66535. You can also reach us at www.lightoftheworldradio.com or at lighthousesbc.org. That is www.lightoftheworldradio.com or at lighthousesbc.org. We look forward to hearing from you as we evaluate those stations that our message is being heard and listened to. So please, take time this week to let us know. As we close this week, it is our sincere desire that you would grow in your knowledge and understanding of God's Word and who He is. Until next time, Soli Deo Gloria.